kind of a standalone message today. I'm not kicking off a new series today, but I felt like there were two things that we needed to do. One of those was share a challenge that I think that God has for us as we step into this new year. And then the other thing I felt like we're called to do is to make some space for the Holy Spirit to speak to us today, okay? And so we're gonna do both of those things today, and I believe God's gonna use this time to help us step into this year with greater intentionality and focus than ever before. And I'm praying that he's gonna speak to our hearts, all right? So if you've got your Bibles, would you turn with me to Joshua chapter 24? Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse number 14. As you're turning in your Bibles there, just encourage you to stand with me across the room. This is something we do. We just stand as we read God's word. If you're a guest here, we do it every Sunday as a way of honoring God's word. Oh, we say his words matter more than my words do. We're just gonna look at a couple of verses here. Joshua chapter 24, beginning of verse 14. And this is Joshua speaking to the Israelites, to the leaders of Israel in this place. He says this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. God, we thank you for the turning in a calendar, because sometimes it creates an opportunity to come back to some things that matter. So Lord, I'm praying right now that we would not just hear Joshua's words, we would not just hear my words today, but God, will we hear your heartbeat today? God, I pray that your invitation would be clear. And Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would go beyond just the words I speak, but that you would speak personally to every person in every circumstance in this room and those with us online. God, would you move in our hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I'm gonna give you 20 seconds. I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to tell them, what instrument did you play as a child? Or if you didn't, what instrument do you wish you knew how to play? Okay, turn to your neighbor. Alrighty, how many of you actually played an instrument growing up? You played an instrument growing up, okay? We had any band geeks in the room? Are there any band geeks in the room? I was a band geek, awesome, okay? How many of you didn't play, but you wish you knew how to play an instrument? Anybody like that? Okay, there's some of you like that, that's great. Okay, here's the question. How many of you grew up and you were either by your choice or not by your choice, you played the piano as a child? Raise your hand. We got a lot of piano players in the room, okay? My guess is we got a lot of bad piano players in the room, because I see some of your faces, that's great. Here's what you have to recognize. If you didn't play a piano, there are different ways to approach the piano. There are different ways to approach it. The way a lot of people start, and as a kid, you start with this whole idea, you just learn the notes. You learn the notes on the page. You learn, okay, when I see this note, I push this note down, and you play it that way. I started doing that when I was like 5. I started playing the piano. My mom would sit me down, teach me, do those kind of things. And that's great. It's a great way to start. But as I grew, there was a point where I started to like develop an ear. Maybe you've heard of people who could play by ear. You know, in high school, I could kind of start playing. I would figure things out, and then I would just kind of start playing things. It wasn't a note. It was just kind of sensing some things, whatever. And as I went a little bit longer, there's something you notice in music that you begin to see patterns as you begin to understand music theory, all right? And what you understand when you study music theory is that music is really numbers and patterns. And once you understand the patterns and the numbers, you totally opens up to you. You see a little bit more. You recognize that there's more going on. And it isn't a perfect example here, but what we have to recognize is that when we approach scripture, there are different ways that we approach it. There are different ways that we can receive from it. Sometimes it's just the black and white, like there's specific commands. Do this, don't do this. Very clear. Okay, I know what to do. I know what to do. Okay, and I think that's a great place for us to understand. You know, knowing what Jesus has said, let's do what he says. Let's not do what he said, don't do. Okay, that's a really good thing to do. But when you dig in, you also begin to see that there's themes in scripture. You see throughout themes, you'll see themes about different characteristics of who God is or characteristics of the kingdom of God. You start to see those themes. But then you can also to see patterns that are repeated throughout scripture. You'll notice like that happened. Oh, it happened again. Oh, it happened again. And these patterns can become a model for us in our lives. You know, one of the patterns that we see over and over again in scripture are moments of rededication and moments of recommitment, particularly in seasons of transition. Now, what do I mean by that? Transition seasons carry with them an opportunity for a little reassessment and rededication moments. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Every time there's a new season, you leave in high school, you're going into college, right? You get married. Oh, you move to a new place. That changing, when there's a transition season, it's an opportunity for you to reassess some things and to reestablish what are you going to be committed to in some way. And we see this happen throughout scripture. Every time there's a big transition throughout the story of scripture, we see moments of rededication and recommitment. It happens with Moses at the end of his life with God's people. It happens when the Israelites enter into the promised land. Right after they cross near Jericho, there's a moment of rededication. Joshua, this moment that we just read, this is right before he's about to die. There's another moment of rededication. It happens with Samuel, David, Solomon, Ezra, Nehemiah, over and over and over. There are these moments where there's a little bit of a season of transition. And they say, what do we need to come back to? Now, why is this a pattern that we see in scripture? This is something some of you need to get a hold of. It's this, is that faith is never a straight line up and to the right. Can I get an amen? Faith is never, this is what we want faith to do. We want everything in life to look like this, don't you? You want your finances to look like this. You want your relationships to look like this. And we absolutely expect that faith is going to be, as time goes on, faith is just going to keep going straight up and to the right. But think about the heroes of faith that we see over and over again. We see Abraham, Moses, David, Peter, all these guys that we look up to them. They all had moments where they got off. They all have moments where this course was not straight up and to the right. It was all over the place. Moments where they got off course. Moments where they drifted. Growth is a messy process. It's a messy process in every area of our lives, but it absolutely is in our faith. Because one day we're in a great place. You've had it. You've had those days you're like, everything's great. I did my Devos. I'm listening to the KTIS. My life is great right now, okay? And then you have those days where it feels like the wheels have fallen off and you're a disaster in your faith. And you're like, have I grown up at all? Have I matured at all? You find yourself doing or saying or responding in ways that you're embarrassed by. I don't know about you, but that's how I can feel sometimes. My guess is you can relate to that. One of the tactics of the enemy is to make you feel like you're the only one that struggles, that the real Christians don't have issues like that. Hear this. That is a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie. Faith isn't clean and seamless. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's rocky. Sometimes you have moments where you're like, I've got off course a little bit. And guess what? That's why we need to have moments like this. Because of this pattern that we have, we need moments of rededication and recommitment. If we don't, we end up in places we don't want to be in. So this is why I love turning of the calendar. This is why I love moments like the beginning of a new year. It's an opportunity for us to just pause for a moment. You know, a lot of people don't do this naturally. Some of you are like, it's stupid. I'm not even gonna care. I'm not making any resolutions. I don't wanna lose any more weight. I don't wanna do any more, I'm not gonna do any new things. I don't want any of that stuff. That's fine. I'm not interested in resolutions, but what I am interested in saying, God, how could this season be an opportunity for us to refocus in our faith for a moment, okay? And so what I wanna do is I wanna come to the passage of scripture that we just read, and I wanna look at it together for a few moments, and then I wanna allow this to kind of spark something in our hearts together, all right? So if you look at the passage that we just read, context for it, we're in the book of Joshua. We're getting toward the end of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, the Israelites step into the promised land. And they're taking over, and there's a lot of battles, a lot of things going in and overtaking the land. Now, it's not a clean story. Everything didn't work out the way they were supposed to. They didn't do things the way they were completely supposed to. But you get to the end of Joshua, and they've pretty much taken over the land as well as they could at that point in time. And Joshua is an old man now. He's getting to the end of his life. And he recognizes, I don't have much time left. And I got to talk to these people. You can imagine, maybe you've had this happen before. You've had a loved one who's older, and they get to the end of their life, and they just want to make sure they're passing a few things on. And so he brings all the leaders of the Israelites together. He brings them all together, and he says, I want to speak to you. And so he begins to share with them, and he starts to share and recount the story of God's faithfulness to his people. He talks about where he's brought them from, how he brought them into he rescued them out of Egypt, how he brought them into the promised land, all the ways he's been faithful over and over and over again. You can just think about somebody who's experienced this stuff. He's seen God's faithfulness. And I think every single one of us, we've had people in our lives like that where they've known God's faithfulness. They've walked through hard things. They've seen it, right? For some of you, you've experienced that yourselves. So he conveys all that to the Israelites, but then we get to the passage that we just read. In response to that, this is what he says. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord." I think this is an important word because he's saying, listen, the natural response to everything I just told you about God's faithfulness and how he's protected you and how he's led you to the promised land, the natural response is to serve him, to give your life to him. Don't give your life to any other stuff. Give your life to him. Follow him. Be faithful to him. Not some, just, I'm going to be faithful to a God out there. No, I'm going to be faithful to the God who has saved and redeemed me. That's who I'm going to be faithful to. But he goes on. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." He immediately draws a line in the sand and says, make a decision. Don't ride the fence. There's no one foot in, one foot out. There's no, I'm going to play the game. I'm going to show up to church on Sunday morning and play the game. No, no. Are you going to serve the Lord or not? Are you going to be faithful to him or not? Listen, he has saved you. He has redeemed you. We just took communion together celebrating everything that he has provided for us. He's given everything to us. The question is, are we going to serve him? Are we going to respond? And Joshua's like, are you going to serve the Lord? Or are you going to serve? Because listen, if you're not going to serve the Lord, then quit playing the games and go serve another God. Quit playing the game. Quit pretending. Quit acting. Quit going through the motions. Just go serve a different God. But I love the way he ends it. Again, old man, been through a lot, seen God's faithfulness. He had failed himself. He had messed stuff up himself. Yet he comes to the end and says, as for me and my household, we're serving the Lord. And I felt like this was the challenge that God wanted us to have here today as we kick off a new year. It's a new year. Every one of us has new things in front of us moving ahead. But I think this is an important moment in all of our personal faith walks to stop for a second and say, where am I gonna go this year? What am I gonna do? And so I wanna ask us a question this morning, and it's our big so what today. It's very simple. Who are you going to serve in 2026? Really? I didn't ask, are you gonna be a good Christian this year? Gonna do all the right things this year? And say, are you gonna be a good church attender this year? Are you gonna be a good church person? I didn't ask that. I said, who are you gonna serve this year? Are you going to serve the Lord this year with your whole life? Are you gonna offer yourself to him this year? Or are you gonna serve something else? And in fact, I feel like God is saying to every one of us, either serve me with everything or quit going through the motions. Quit playing the games. Just stop it. Pick one or the other. It makes me think about Jesus speaking in Revelation where he says, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but we're lukewarm. And for this year, would we come back and say, no, that's not what we're gonna be. We're not gonna be the one foot in, one foot out. We're not gonna be the ones who are riding the fence. No, we're gonna choose today who we're gonna serve. And my call for you, and what I feel like God is inviting us, will you choose to serve the Lord this year? Not to prove yourself to him, but in response to his grace and mercy that he's offered to you. In response to what he's made available to you, will you choose to serve the Lord this year? Will you give yourself completely to him? And I wanna talk to a few different people. First, I wanna talk to the individuals in the room, every one of us in the room, okay? Who are you gonna serve this year? Are you gonna serve Jesus this year? And some of you are like, well, I really had a rough year last year. Awesome, I'm sorry that you had a rough year in your faith walk. Guess what? New opportunity, rededicate your heart today. Recommit your heart today. Say, nope, I'm starting today. I'm gonna begin to walk a different way. I'm not gonna keep going the path that I've been going. I'm gonna go a new way today, all right? For some of you, last year was an awesome year in your faith. You grew a ton in your faith. You're like, I'm at like the peak in my life. Here's what I would ask. Maybe we would call that, it's been like a ceiling moment in your life. Is it possible that your ceiling from last year could become the floor for next year? Is it possible you could take another step toward him this next year? Is it possible he would do a new thing in your heart? Like there's more of his love for you to experience. There's more of your obedience that he's calling you to. There's more faith for you to step out into, to actually trust him and to believe things. Maybe that this year would be a place where you step out into a whole nother level in your faith that you've never experienced before. What would that look like? Who are you going to serve in 2026? But I wanna talk to another group in here, and that's the men, and specifically the heads of households in this room. Who are you gonna serve in 2026? Because men, I wanna say this. Your families, your homes are watching you. You can say you're serving Jesus. You can say faith is most important. You can say, I wanna follow Jesus, but they're watching you and they know what you really think. They know how you really live. And I'm asking, will this year be the year where you say, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord? As for me and my house, guess what? It's gonna be imperfect. I'm still gonna fail, but I'm not riding a fence in my home anymore. I'm not gonna passively just hope my home follows Christ. No, we're gonna prioritize the things that matter most. We're gonna prioritize faith. We're gonna lean into the things that matter. We're gonna challenge one another in the things that matter. I believe God is calling for a group of men to step up and say, we're serving Christ. As far as it is up to me, we're gonna serve the Lord, right? And I think that's what he's inviting you to. And so as we close our time today, I wanna create some space for us together. And I wanna ask this question. How does serving Jesus need to look different for you in 2026? I want us to personalize this. How does it need to look different? In response to what he's made available to us, the fact that he saved us, he's given us new life, how do things need to look different in this year from what they looked like in last year? Okay? And so I'm not gonna tell you what it needs to look like, but I'm leaving space for the Holy Spirit here. And so I invite you to take out the blank card that you received when you walked in the door. Hopefully you received a card. If you didn't grab a card on the way in the door, then I want you to take out a little note on your phone or something like that, okay? Because I want you to write something down. I want you to make some space here today. And so make sure you're doing that, okay? What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna walk through a few different areas. And I'm gonna list six things, and I want you to write these six things down. Because then I'm gonna leave some space for the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And I want you these to be prompts for you. That maybe the Holy Spirit's gonna speak in one of these areas of your life. Okay? First, I wanna talk practically. Real practical. What does it look like for you physically this year? I know it's really simple. You're like, okay, well, that's exciting, you know. Maybe it means, you know, if I'm gonna serve the Lord, maybe I've talked about physically doing some things to be healthy and I just haven't done those things. Maybe that is a practical thing for you. But I wanna speak beyond that because I know one of the things that we struggle in our world is addiction. Addiction is rampant. And it's not just chemicals, but it may include chemicals. And is it possible this year is a year where you need to get serious about some of those things? About some areas where you've been caught going the wrong direction. Maybe there's some sin issue that you've been walking into over and over again and you need to say, no, I need to stop that. I need to make a change in that area of my life. If I'm gonna truly serve the Lord, that can't continue. Another area I wanna think about is mentally. What does it look like? Mentally, what does it look like? Now, what do I mean by that? I think, how do we steward our minds? What are we ingesting? What are we filling ourselves with? who say, I want to serve the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord, but it's possible all we're ingesting, everything we watch, everything we listen to, every podcast we listen to is actually corrupting our thoughts and taking us in alignment with the world rather than with the ways of Christ. Or maybe it's not even evil, but it's simply overwhelming the truth of God's word. Maybe there's something that we need to shift. If we're going to say, no, I want to serve the Lord, maybe I need to make a change to some of those things. Okay? Another area, financially. What does it look like to serve the Lord financially? You know, we just talked about a series a couple months ago about what does it look like for us to give God our first and our best? What does it look like to trust God? What would that look like? Maybe, you know, maybe you haven't made a change, but now we're at the beginning of the year. This is a perfect time to say, God, I want to serve you in that area of my life. Maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to you in that way. Then there's a few other areas I want to speak to. One of those might be emotionally. What does it look like emotionally in your life? Could this be a year where maybe you need to deal with some stuff? There's some stuff you just haven't dealt with. There's some trauma from your past that you've not dealt with that keeps causing issues. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive that you've been holding on to. Maybe there's something that's overwhelming you, that's burning you out in some way that you need to lay down. I don't know what that looks like. Another area is spiritually. And I want to say everything we're talking about is spiritual. When I say spiritually, what I mean is your spiritual habits and disciplines. Maybe following the Lord means I need to step in a different way. Maybe it is I need to start one of the Bible reading plans. I need to get in the Word on a regular basis. Not letting it just be this thing I listen to somebody preach about once a week, but actually digging into the Word on a regular basis on my own. What does that look like? Maybe it means developing a more focused prayer life where you say, no, I'm going to intentionally set some time. Maybe it's engaging in fasting. Maybe you're going to, some of those deeper practices, you're going to engage. I don't know what it is, but maybe God's calling you in those disciplines in some way, in a new way. The last one I want to say is relationally. There's a reason why I put this one last. Now, relationally, there might be some things that God would call you. If faithfulness to him demands that maybe you need to have some reconciliation with some people, maybe there's some things you're struggling. Maybe in your marriage, things are toxic right now. You're not in hell. You are not loving each other as Christ loved the church. You're not doing that kind of stuff. You're in a broken place and you need God to do a work. And this is the year to say, listen, I'm going to reconcile this relationship as a means to serve the Lord this year. I'm not compartmentalizing my life anymore. The reason that I put this last is because here's the deal. We are going to struggle to do any of these things if we do not have spiritual relationships in our lives that are there to encourage and challenge us, okay? Every single one of us need, not just I showed up to church and I sat in a row that I vaguely said hello to some people. No, we need deep relationships with other believers who know us, who can challenge us, who can speak truth into our lives, who can call us back to faithfulness in God's word, right? We need those relationships. And so the question I ask, do you have those relationships? And maybe the way that you're gonna grow this year, maybe the way you're gonna serve the Lord is to begin to invest in relationships that can help you further that journey. So you're not trying to live out faith on an island by yourself without anybody encouraging you. Okay? So I ask the question, I'm gonna put the question up again. How does serving Jesus need to look different for you in 2026? And I can't answer that question for you. But what I want to do is I'm going to pray over us here in a moment. And then I'm going to release us for about 3 or 4 minutes with the music playing to just have a moment to pray and ask this question to the Lord yourself. God, what needs to be different? Begin to look at those different areas and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. And I believe I'm depending on him today to speak to your heart, to bring a word to you that's specific to where you're at. And then all of us can take those as we walk out the door today, right? And so we're going to have a few moments, and then I'm invited the team is going to lead us for a little bit as well. And then I'm going to come back and close our service here in about 10 or 15 minutes. But I want us to make that space right now. And so I invite you, even before we write anything, I invite you, if you actually want to hear from the Lord right now, I invite you just to place your hands over your heart for a moment. And we're going to have a moment where we open our hearts to the Lord to hear what he has to say to us. Father, we thank you that you care about us, that you love us. As we read earlier, in Christ, we're a new creation, not because we're so perfect and cleaned up, but because that's what you say about us in Christ. You save us and you redeem us. But Lord, we acknowledge that we're still kids that are learning the right way to follow you. And in response to your mercy, we want to serve you. And maybe there's some new ways you're calling us to do that this year. Maybe there's areas you want to stretch our faith this year. Maybe there's areas you want to say, hey, this is how it's always been, but this is not how it has to be. And so God, we're going to give you space for the next few moments to speak to our hearts. God, I ask that you would speak specifically to our hearts today. Would you speak your words? Would you speak your vision for this next year? Our hearts are open. Our ears are open to you, we pray. In Jesus' name.